So officially, again, a warm welcome. So we're on Advices and Queries 16. And I just thought today I would read again the poem, An Invitation to Brave Space, because it feels particularly, I don't know, particularly right for this advice. So together we will create brave space. Because there is no such thing as a safe space. We exist in the real world. We all carry scars and we have all caused wounds. In this space, we seek to turn down the volume of the outside world. We amplify voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. We call each other to more truth and love. We have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. We will not be perfect. This space will not be perfect. It will not always be what we wish it to be, but it will be our brave space together, and we will work on it side by side. And that seems to be attributed to different people. It depends where you look online. So Beth Strano is one attribute, and Mickey Scott, no, I've gone the other, there's another one as well, so I apologize if I'm attributing it incorrectly. So friends, you know, we've been journeying through these advices and queries, and as I've mentioned before, I was curious to see a little line that separated advice and queries 7 from advice and queries 8, and it seemed to me, as we sort of explored the first 7 together, that it was in some senses expressing a container of Quakerism. And that is, at its core, we sought to be heedful of love and truth, to welcome new light from wherever it comes, and to seek and find our own way into stillness in our daily lives, but also in sort of protected time. And then there's the next 8, and this is the final one today, of that group, and this seems to me to be describing more the contents of the container. It often mentions worship in almost every one of them. So if you think of the container as being like a garden, and what's in it are the plants, and fundamentally we've got this plant of worship. And I love this saying of Hafiz, you know, I created you because I thought you'd enjoy it. As though God is saying, you know, we're here for joy and for worship, the soul clapping its hands. And I think that's what we're being invited to do. And we mentioned this last month, didn't we? Everything on our to-do list is a love letter to and from the divine. So, as I do each month, I'm just going to read the advice and query, and you can just sort of soak in it like you're in a bath. Just let it float around you. Breathe it in. Do you welcome the diversity of culture, language, and expressions of faith in our yearly meeting and in the world community of friends? Seek to increase your understanding and to gain from the rich heritage and wide range of spiritual insights. Uphold your own and other yearly meetings in your prayers. So I'll circle back and take the first bit. Do we welcome the diversity of culture, language, and expressions of faith? Well, you know, as a Quaker, I like to think I do, but do I really? And I guess, you know, if we're thinking about this as an aspect of worship, then it seems like it's really saying this is important. You know, pay attention. In evolutionary terms, I guess, our brains seem to have a bias that seeks those who are similar to us. You know, we have this confirmation bias, don't we? And what is being confirmed is our identity and our preferences. And I guess language is a really strong trigger here. It must be extremely important for binding families and communities that we're using similar language. And so we can see our preferences perhaps as just a way our brains have evolved. It's like we are heat-seeking missiles for echo chambers that, you know, reflect back our opinions and preferences. And that's okay, you know, it binds us together, as I said, but the problem with this is that in today's world, it can lead to a kind of armoring against folk who are not like me. And if we look about us, there is such a diversity. A few years ago, I found myself writing these lines in a longer poem about Mother Earth. And still she gives and gives with outrageous abundance. Verdant green, a reckless number of acorns. And still she gives and gives with outrageous abundance, verdant green, a reckless number of acorns. And I guess what I was in touch with, apart from the abundance of nature, is diversity. It seems to be baked into nature. Like there's just this act of radical generosity. You can think of the confetti of blossom, you know. Crazy, it's crazy the generosity of nature. It's amazing. So where our brains seek out familiarity and the comfortable echo chambers of similar viewpoints, Mother Nature just throws diversity at us everywhere, you know, with all its wonder. You think about it, you know, neurodiversity, diversity of plants and animals, even diversity of the biomes in our guts. It's all a sign of real foundational health. So I believe this advice is asking us to lay down this armoring in some sense. Perhaps this armoring towards this person who doesn't use God language, or does use God language, or does or doesn't minister in a way we like, or serve in a way we approve of. Towards anyone really who's different to us, which of course is everyone. And to clap our hands and welcome them. So does this person use language? I was thinking about language in particular. When I was new to France, I was struck by the peculiarities of language, that everyone seemed to understand this weird language except me, all these acronyms and hope so's and, you know, meetings for sufferings, yearly meetings, so on. And I guess we could be mindful to use what Buddhists call wise speech, especially perhaps when talking to newcomers, or maybe even friends who've been here for years, not assume that they know what all this means, so that we're not excluding people. We're, you know, welcoming them in some really clear way and letting them in on this, on these words that we use. And perhaps it is wise as part of wise speech, you know, when we talk about plain speaking, don't we? That we are also heedful of love and truth. I think sometimes when friends talk about plain speaking, they're homing in on the truth. And perhaps they need to also balance that sometimes with compassion and love and holding both when we speak plainly, so that it's tender. I'm not going to say much more about this today, because I was thinking about working in particular with diversity. Yeah, do we welcome diversity? So what I thought we would do is perhaps work on judging thoughts. And to do that, we'll start with tenderizing our hearts with some loving kindness, some holding in the light. And then I'll invite you to bring to mind someone for whom there is judgment. Judgment arises, okay? And we'll perhaps think a little bit about that in this context of diversity. It could be someone in your meeting, And then it could be someone else outside meeting. But it's important, I think, for me, that we approach this with kindness towards ourselves, because, as I mentioned in the prepared ministry, you know, judging thoughts arise. It just is how the brain is wired. We just are wired to head towards people who are like us and to move away from difference. So it isn't anything to beat ourselves up about, but it is, I think, helpful to be aware of it and then to frame this in terms of diversity. So if you would like to get comfortable in any way you need to begin to get a wriggle, or perhaps move your shoulders, or in any way get adjust your posture, get another cushion, or good. And can I check? I've got new headphones today, so I'm just wondering, can I just have a thumbs up? Is everyone hearing me okay? Is the sound okay? Okay, good. And hopefully for those where the sound is too quiet, you have enabled the captions and that's working. I hope. Good. Okay. So friends, we will center down. We'll be like this for a good 20, 25 minutes. So I invite you to perhaps take a slightly deeper breath. And on the out breath, yourself sink down, perhaps sinking down out of the head and letting yourself drop down to your feet. Good. Sensing the soles of your feet on the ground. And you might hold your feet in the light, almost feel them filling up with light, kindness, compassion, wishing your feet well. Perhaps you've been on your feet a lot today. Taking an inward bow at your feet. Letting your attention rise up your lower legs from the ankle to the knee. Almost as if you're a jug filling up, letting the light, cherishing your lower leg. And where the lower leg bone meets the upper leg bone, just under the kneecap, filling our knees with light, ease. And letting that carry on filling up through your upper legs, and your sit bones. And you might just explore offering good wishes to your legs. May my legs be well. May they be filled with light. Carrying on, letting the light, that warm liquid light, filling up your whole pelvic area, your lower tummy, your lower back. Your mid back. And your whole thoracic area. Sometimes a slightly bigger breath can stretch the muscles around your ribs and enable a deeper relaxation there. Softening your shoulders. And allowing the light to flow down your arms, filling up your hands. Your throat, sometimes just a whisper of a movement, tucking in your chin, lengthening up the side, the back of your neck. The light continues to rise up your neck and filling up your skull, relaxing your jaw, your lips, relaxing your ears, your eyes. Perhaps even your thinking muscles can in some way relax. May my whole body relax. May my whole body be filled with light. May I be held in the light. And cherished by the light. May I be filled with light, that loving kindness. May I be held, cherished by the light. May I know that as my core, right in my center. And if it's supportive, you might think of someone else, a love, really someone who loves you, and someone who cherishes you. They might put their hands on your shoulders, gently saying to you, "May you be filled with light, dear one." May you be held in light, love. May you know in your core how cherished you are. Just going to suggest you marinate in that for a bit. Each cell sponging up this good wishing, good well wishing for yourself. Now to bring our minds to diversity, I'm going to invite you to bring to mind someone whose difference kind of triggers judgment in you. Perhaps there's something that about this person that's, you know, always a thought arises. It can be a group of people, it can even be a nation. It could be, I don't know, mosquitoes. Something for which judgment arises. Doesn't have to be a big thing. Okay. And when that judgment, that little voice pops in, I'm going to invite you to imagine very great tenderness, like you're putting your hand to your cheek. It's all right, dear one. That's just a judging thought. That's all that is. That's just a judging thought. Just notice what happens to the thought when it's labeled with real kindness, tenderness. It's okay, dear one. It's a judging thought. Now I'm going to invite you to bring something about yourself that you sometimes get judgy towards. So maybe there's a, I don't know, something that happens, perhaps a mistake that happens from time to time, or an anxiety that comes in from time to time, or a frustration. And there is a tendency to, yeah, be a bit judgy towards yourself. So just try it. Just try the back of the hand in the cheek or in some tender gesture towards yourself. It's okay, dear one. That's just a judging thought. It's just a judging thought. It's okay. Offering kindness to yourself. We're just human. Our minds produce these thoughts. There are all kinds of causes and conditions and conditioning. And these thoughts pop in. They're just thoughts. Letting yourself breathe with that kindness, rest in that kindness. And you might notice what happens when you can be tender to those thoughts. Perhaps more diversity is allowed. And for the last few seconds of this, I can invite you to let go of any thinking at all. Thoughts about judgments or about breathing, and just let yourself be in the light. And when you're ready, friends, you can open your eyes and offer each other a virtual handshake.